Good evening.
Good evening.
And it was a beautiful day. In keeping with our theme for 2018, I would like to give a different aspect or another aspect on getting outside. This aspect of getting outside is who will go? Who will go? I'd like to give you a hypothetical situation to start this off. And let's say that you, as an individual, or as a team, one of you is an eminent oncologist, and you and your team have been searching for the cure for cancer for many years. This last week, you discovered the cure for cancer. It's not been on the news. Not been on television. The media has not picked up on it. Nobody's tweeted. So it's a brand new thing, but it's a wonderful, a miracle. And you learn that a friend, a childhood friend of yours, has lung cancer. And he's had it for 2 months. He's been told by another oncologist he only has 12 months to live. What will you do with the good news that you just have, you just learned? What is your responsibility? Now, let's switch that around and let's go to we believers. What is our responsibility as a believer? My responsibility as an individual, yours as individuals, to those who are outside and don't know the Lord. Not only just outside, not here in the assembly, but outside of being in the family of God. What is our responsibility? Well, I think that we have three areas of responsibility or three occupations that we ought to be willing to serve at. Number one, or we could say A, because that's what I've got down here. A, to be a watchman. B, to be a witness. And C, to be a worker. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 33, and we will read a few verses, verses 1 through 9, about a watchman. Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 9. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and he took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, for he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So then, O Son of Man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth, at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. What does a watchman do? Well, we just read it. A watchman watches for the enemy, and he warns the people. He cares for the people. In Psalms 142, in verse 4, you may want to turn there, we read a very sad verse. And maybe this is because there was no watchman. But in Psalm 142 in verse 4 we read, I looked on my right hand and be helped, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. That's a sad, sad verse to think that there are those that are outside of this assembly, but more importantly, outside of being a part of the family of God, and no one cared for their soul. I'm not going to turn to it for the sake of time, but in Luke chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, we read about our Savior crying over Jerusalem, even as a mother hen would be concerned about her chicks. The people's blood is on our hands if we don't warn them of impending danger. I'd like to read a comment to you from Matthew Henry that I thought sort of summed it up. This is a quote from Matthew Henry that had to do with Ezekiel 33, 1 through 11, and we only read 1 through 9. How much wiser are men in their temporal than in their spiritual concerns? They set watchmen to guard their houses and sentinels to warn of the approach of the enemy. But in the concerns of eternity, where their everlasting happiness or misery of their souls are at stake, they are offended if ministers obey their master's command and deliver their own soul. They would rather perish listening to smooth things. That's a very sad comment. Almost as sad as, no man cared for my soul. B, second area of responsibility, to be a witness. What is a witness? Well, I rely on Webster's dictionary a lot, and there were four or five different definitions that were given to me out of the book, so I'm going to read you each one of them. But one is the one that's particularly the one that we would aspire to or would find to be most appropriate for a believer. Number one, a witness gives attestation of a fact or event. Testimony, one that gives evidence specific, one who testifies in a cause or before a judicial tribunal. Number three, one who has personal knowledge of something. Number four, to bear witness to one's religious convictions. Opportunity to do so for Christ. That's the one that we would select. That's the one that we would apply to our own hearts, that we might be a witness and do that to those that are outside of our Savior. In Matthew chapter 28, we read these verses. Matthew 28, we all know it, it's the Great Commission, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age or the end of the world. Amen. And here was the great commission, the great command to the Lord's disciples. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we see a second place in the Scriptures, in the New Testament, where we are to be His witnesses. We ought to take the good news. Acts 1, verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And the Lord Jesus was speaking there, and He started with the closest place, Jerusalem, and then He went to the furthest place, the uttermost part of the earth. Some examples in Scripture that we see of one being a witness, and all of these basically but one are the Lord Jesus. I won't turn to the references, but I'll give them to you. Witnessing to Zacchaeus, Luke 19, 1 through 9. And Zacchaeus was a rich man. John chapter 4, verses 5 through 15. The Samaritan woman at the well, a poor woman. Mark 5, 1 through 8, the Gadarene demonic, a poor man. And then Acts 8, 26 through, can't read my writing, but I think it's 39. And this was not Jesus, but it was the Holy Spirit sent Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Ethiopian eunuch was rich. So we have two people here that were rich, and we have two people that were poor. Jesus was no respecter of persons, neither did he show partiality, and we're not to be either. C, a third area of responsibility, to be a worker, a watchman, a witness, a worker. In Matthew chapter 9, we read verses 36 through 38. We're going to read about being a witness or the need for being a worker and the need for workers. And we read there in Matthew 9:36 through 38. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers, and we could say workers, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers, send forth workers into the harvest. Now there's a popular song that says, they all came around when he was doing his miracles, and as the wine flowed, they were all ready to be a part of that. And then it ends up, everyone wants to sit around my table, but no one wants to work in my fields. Pretty sad to think that we have a lost and dying world right outside this assembly here, right outside this neighborhood, right outside this building, and people we work with every day, cousins, sons-in-laws, speaking to myself, and others who need the Lord. Well, how do we begin our work for God in reaching souls in 2018? Well, a worker needs tools. A worker needs equipment. The first tool is prayer. That is the most important ingredient in reaching out and winning souls. Someone said, go to God for men first, then go to men for God after. And we know that prayer moves the hand of God, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not slack regarding his promises. So bring the names. Each one of us ought to bring the names of those on our hearts, in our family, our neighbors, our workers, associates, business people, clients. And what we read in James 5:16, not bringing that verse out because we've been in life group with James, but it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So first tool is prayer. What's the second two? Know the Word. Study and know God's Word, particularly verses that are for the plan of salvation. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You could use the Roman road if you wanted to, if you're talking to somebody, and maybe you know what the Roman road is, and maybe you don't. But Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23, Romans 10:9-10, Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Romans 10:13. Or you could use John 3:16, Revelation 3:20, Romans 5:8. And there are other good verses to point a soul to the Lord. The third tool, to have some effective questions. Now, I'm very prejudiced, particularly if you're talking one-on-one, because of Charlie Crawford, who brought EE to our assembly in 1988. Hard to believe it's been 30 years ago, but it has been. Some of us remember, right, Mark? But anyway, if you're talking with somebody one-on-one, it is very helpful if you can get to the nitty-gritty, or where the rubber meets the road, as J. Vernon McGee would say, and have questions that immediately arouse their curiosity or will cause them to respond with an answer that helps you to know where they are. Number one question I think like and you have used, and we used it in EE, have you reached the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? And this is hard for me to do. You have to be quiet after that. After you ask that question, you got to sort of zip it and let them tell you. And if they say, I think so, or if they say, I hope so, then you can come back and say, you can know as well as you know what your name is or where you live or your date of birth. You can know with as much certainty that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13, and you don't read the whole verse or give them the whole verse. You say, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. It's no if so. It's no hope so. It's no think so. You can know for certain you have eternal life. Second question, EE, if you had died tonight and you stood before God and He asked you, why should I let you into my heaven, what would your answer be? And most people don't know what the answer is. Sad to say, those that are outside of the Lord. And so you say, well, what do you think your answer would be? Sad to say, most people haven't thought. So this one will always get an answer. By the way, what would you say the requirements are to get into heaven? That one will always, almost always bring a response. Sad to say, most of the time, it's good works. It's good works. Why? They've been raised, do the best you can, make good grades, work hard at your job, you'll get a promotion. My time is up, so I got to put it in high gear. I'm going to double clutch it here. Okay, now, the other tool that I think is of real importance to you, besides these others we talked about, is have some good tracks. This is my favorite track, if I got it out here. Oh, yeah, I did. If you're in a restaurant, or you're at the gas station, or you're at Walmart, and there's a lot of greeters and, you know, a lot of customers, is that one right there. You are special. With a beautiful flower on the front, you tell a woman she's special, she's not going to smack you. I promise you. Now, I did have three people turn me down, and it's probably first one just turned down a track in years. The other night, we went to see, I Can Only Imagine, and we went to K&W afterwards. And I went over to a table where there was two women and a daughter. There was a mother, a grandmother, and a daughter, as best I could tell. And I had three of these, and I was going to give one to each one of them. They said, uh-uh. And I said, it's a gospel track, because I thought, well, you know, they don't really know. Maybe I'm in a cult or something. But I said, it's a gospel track. Well, maybe you could be in a cult and be a gospel too, a different gospel. But anyway, they said no. And they weren't hateful. They just, so I thanked them, put it back in my pocket, and left. This one, that's for women usually. This one you can give to a man. Probably he won't punch you out, you know, if you say somebody loves you. Everybody wants to be loved. There was one I couldn't find out there. This is a good one, too, Your Ticket to Heaven. But there's one out there by Jack Graham. I don't know if he's kin to Billy Graham, but it says, who is good enough to get into heaven? And it is very clear cut. I hope we got some in the drawer. Anyway, we're back to our first question. What would you do if you were the eminent oncologist? You would take the cure for cancer to your friend. And that would be a wonderful physical salvation for this childhood boyfriend that he grew up with. And here we're dealing with the physical. But let's take the cure for lost souls to a lost and dying world, and to those who are outside, that they might have a new life and know where they are going to spend eternity. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to open Your Word, and we thank You for a challenge to each one of us who are saved to go out and win some for Thee. You tell us to win the lost at any cost. And we know, as we've heard from Amin and from others, there are those in the Middle East, Andrew Brunson, one of them, in Turkey, in prison because he is doing what You've asked him to do, the Great Commission. And so we pray You'll give us the bravery and the backbone to take a stand. And if it's only to give out a tract, to do so that men and women and boys and girls may come to know Christ in 2018. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.